Hour number one of KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show, straight ahead.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome to another week of Future Times for all of us. You know, our show, we've been on for 5 years or so. You know, we're kind of focused on the new renaissance that's unfolding in the world, that despite all the ills and travails of our species, that we are actually making progress and new ideas and new things are coming out that will evolve us to a new level of awareness. That's our basic mentality here.
I would say so.
Yeah, so given that, it was a bit of a sad news for us to hear about Harbin Hot Springs burning down this weekend.
Absolutely.
That was a very favorite place for many of our community to enjoy. It's kind of like an Esalen type of place, if you're not familiar with it. The Valley Fire completely devastated the place.
Yeah, it was just a shocking fire. Hundreds of homes destroyed, many tens of thousands of people evacuated, and no end in sight. Yeah. It's been all summer long. I mean, these poor people have suffered so much.
The fires up in that area.
Yeah. And now the town of Middletown and Harbin Hot Springs itself is just gone, destroyed.
Yeah, the retreat had overnight rooms, it had cottages, tent camping, lots of different pools for soaking in from very hot to very cold.
Yeah.
Pools for the kids.
Yeah, little heart-shaped pool for little kids. And of course, our community is grieving very much with all of the people who have been made homeless, displaced, not sure what's happening next. And of course, there's a lot of gathering of people to comfort each other and weather the crisis and begin to think about what's next.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and lots of thoughts about what's next there too in terms of rebuilding, you know, what could happen. Because out of the ashes is ultimately renewal.
It's true, and especially people out here in California, we are very used to seeing the phoenix from the ashes of the fire. We're very into considering what's next and how do we get there and what do we need to do.
Yeah. In looking at the videos on YouTube, if you search for Harbin Hot Springs Valley Fire, you'll find them. The one ray of hope was that there was some life still there. There was a very big koi pond that had lots of fish in it. Most of them were belly up on the pond, but there were some that were living.
Wow.
And I was thinking that if...
I hope they get rescued.
Yeah, if someone rescues those would be the symbol of the renewal and the phoenix fish, if you will.
Wow, the phoenix koi.
Yeah, the phoenix koi, right.
That's right. Well, phoenix is a fire symbol. Fish is a water symbol. I think that's a lovely metaphor. I like your transposition there.
Thank you. So let's get on to some of our future news.
Okay.
All right. Now, you've heard of the Tesla wall. You know, I've mentioned that before.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think that a few of them are little alpha models are being released, and the factory in Reno is gearing up to make hundreds of thousands of them, and I can't wait to get one.
Yeah, the super battery factory in Reno is definitely going to be creating those for the Tesla Corporation. But what's interesting is that Tesla is getting some competition from Mercedes-Benz on their Powerwall.
That's right. Who can become sustainable first? I like the new race here.
Yeah.
Sustainability or die or bust.
It is interesting how it's evolving too. And some of it is because of old regulations, I think, that are pushing this forward. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, a lot of people have gotten solar. Solar is great, but most people who are on the grid or have power, much as most of you, I'm not, but most of you are, you get what's called grid tie when you talk to your solar installers. And grid tie means if you have excess power, you sell it to the grid.
Right, yeah. It's a single purchaser system. Like, yeah. The only thing you can do is sell your power to PG&E, and then PG&E will mark it up and sell it to the other users.
Yeah, they'll give you a very small amount for your power and then charge more to others.
That's right. So, they buy low and they sell high, yeah, and you are their supplier.
A really swift deal there, doesn't it?
Good deal for PG&E. You'd think they'd want everybody to do it.
So what Elon Musk and now Mercedes-Benz are doing is they're offering you some new lithium-ion battery packs that can take your excess solar, store it for yourself, and you have it handy in cases of emergency.
But as we know, as people off the grid know, if you want to store your own solar power, you need a totally different system than the grid tie system.
Well, not totally different. You need to move the excess energy to batteries, and you need to have a charge controller that can handle that. Most people are used to thinking in terms of lead acid, like us. You know, we have a lead acid system. But the proper charge controller, smarts for that, and another battery pack that's lithium ion, and I think everyone will be able to store their own power. It'd be like having a generator in times of emergencies.
Yeah. You know, I really liked Elon Musk's half-hour presentation, which is available on the Tesla.com site when you go look for the Tesla battery wall. Mm-hmm. And when he introduced it, he did an incredible visual for people about how much solar power do we need to power all of the current power needs for the United States. Like, if we were to just replace the electrical grid system, how big would the solar array
be? Yeah, it was like a dot in the Arizona desert.
Yeah, it was a tiny, it was maybe a few square miles. It was a few square miles of solar panels would collect enough energy to replace all of the grid systems in the country. And just a few more would replace all of the transportation and heating.
Yeah, and the difference here is that instead of centralized power, like power plants, everyone has their own power system. Which is very interesting because nature kind of took that approach in our bodies, where every single human cell has its own power pack.
That's right. We've got a hearth called the mitochondria.
That's right.
In every cell.
Yeah. So, hey, sounds like a good idea.
It's cool.
I definitely recommend having your own batteries. I think that really, really is a great idea.
Okay. We're about to go to a break. So, Folks, charge up your batteries and we'll be right back. This is the Dr. Future Show on KSEO.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We have a question from the audience regarding the power walls of Tesla and Mercedes-Benz.
Let me paraphrase. What is it?
Well, Mercedes-Benz has released a power pack that holds 2.5 kilowatts of electricity. All right, 2.5 kilowatts of
which
electricity.
Which is about a quarter of what a typical household would be using.
Actually, a typical American household is just playing with it, just using as much energy as they want, is considered about 20 kilowatts.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Right. So less than a quarter, an eighth.
Yeah. It's going down now as we go into LED bulbs and stuff like that. They say that they can combine them. So that's one of the big bonuses of Mercedes-Benz is that you can chain them together. Well, hey, batteries, you do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, makes sense. I'm sure Teslas do that too.
Oh, yeah, they're scaling.
Though they claim that they can only scale up to 10 kilowatt hours for
the BMW.
No, for the Tesla. Well, the BMWs claim 20. So the race is on, you know, in terms of the best power pack.
But that's just the battery wall. But see, yeah. Tesla has all these products that are scalable because they're planning to sell units to do factories and buildings. You know, the Tesla wall is just kind of the home market.
Yeah.
And then they have these commercial things that are much bigger.
Industrial scale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, we have an article on that on our links page. You go to drfutureshow.com/links. You'll see some of the stories that we're talking about today, and this being one of them.
One of our faves. Just one last closing note on the Tesla batteries is that Elon Musk points out that in order to power the energy needs of the entire world, we would basically need about 200 billion or about 2 billion battery walls, and that's about how many cars there are. So it's very doable.
Oh, by the way, they'll be manufactured, at least the Tesla ones, will be manufactured at the Gigafactory in Reno. It's a new location for the Gigafactory.
Yeah. Oh, and it's a beautiful factory, too. It's sort of like they're practicing for Mars by designing a factory in Reno. It's got this wonderful round shape. It's completely covered with solar panels on top. It really looks like a future city. It's pretty amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely fascinating. And I don't know if you watch Elon Musk on late night Colbert last week. Pretty funny.
What did you like about it?
Well, he's not afraid to bring up some controversial topics like colonizing Mars. And he said there's a slow way to do it and a fast way to do it. And so Colbert asked, well, what's the fast way? He said, well, we'd explode thermonuclear blasts at the North and South Pole.
Nukes.
Which
yeah.
The nukes would move all the moisture in the poles into the atmosphere. The atmosphere seriously needs it there. It's like 1/100th the thickness of Earth's atmosphere. So, you know.
There you go. Well, the scientists are debating what is safe science and what is just practical applications of nature's laws.
Yeah.
You got to be safe to have that debate. You can't just keep knowledge in a box.
No, you got to think, well, as a neighboring citizens, do we have a right to terraform Mars? Is it our territory?
Well, gosh, I mean, let's ask the Vikings what they thought when they came across the sea.
Something that will be on the lips of many in about 10 years.
Right.
Meanwhile.
How do we find the Martians to give them a vote? That's going to be a challenge.
I'd say right now we don't think there are any Martians. So
yes,
it's not a...
But that could be a cover-up.
Unless you have to get permission from the rocks. You
that's
know, the Martian
true.
Rocks, you know.
Well,
so
you know, where does democracy begin? How far down on the food chain do you go to give the animals a vote? Right?
Big question, burning on many people's tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's look at that in terms of life expectancy for our species. That seems to be interesting in the news this week. Life expectancy has been climbing worldwide for our species. But the downside of that is that we have been dealing with less of a higher quality of health for the last number of years.
Really? So we have a lot of people that are just vegetables in bed that are pushing the statistics higher?
Well, I think the issues that affect our quality of life are related to heart disease, especially ischemic heart disease, lower respiratory infections, and strokes, which has caused most health loss around the planet.
Wow. And so people have a heart attack or a stroke or they have
a respiratory infection,
a respiratory disease, and then they just keep living, but they
the quality of life is degraded.
And they, So they're sort of housebound at that point, huh?
As many of us have seen or experienced directly.
Mm-hmm.
But the life is longer. That's the good news. Healthy life expectancy is the longest. In, let's see, what the country that gets the highest life expectancy, healthy life expectancy, is Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that makes sense, too. And you notice also that they are focused on robots for elderly care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because once a Japanese person turns 85, then they suddenly might need some help.
Is well, I think we need help before 85. I could use some help right now.
But you're not Japanese.
No. I think the robots will filter down. We'll find the most useful things for them to do first, like elderly care.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll migrate into less, or fun things too. You know, whatever we put our attention, they'll filter into. So Japan is number one. Number two is Singapore. Three is Andorra. Four is Iceland. You know, we're not even on the list. 10 is Canada. So it goes Andorra, Iceland, Cyprus, Israel, France, Italy, South Korea, and Canada. And America's not even on the top 10 list of the healthiest lifestyle.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
On the other side, the lowest life expectancy or lowest healthy life expectancy is in Lesotho.
I never heard of Lesotho.
Swaziland, Central African Republic, Guinea, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Africa, basically, for the first six. Then Afghanistan, Chad, South Sudan, and Zambia.
You know, so, I think we're going to have a few clues about that with our guest next week, Sally Armstrong, because, you know, Africa, a lot of countries are disappearing because of AIDS. I mean, it's really endemic, and it's just terrible what's happening in those countries.
Well, they do mention that as the one of the leading causes of health loss for both sexes. AIDS is number nine.
Yeah.
Number one is ischemic heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the respiratory and stroke. And you know what's below stroke? Number four?
Mm-hmm.
Lower back and neck pain. Oh, that decreases the quality of life for number four reason on the planet for our species.
Mm-hmm.
And then below that, and this is where the autonomous cars come in, road injuries.
Oh, getting hurt in car accidents.
Yeah, how many people have road injuries? I mean, I know a lot. I'm sure you all do, if not personally. Right? It's one of the big things that could happen in any moment on any day of your life. So great. Number five. So that's something we can do about with the autonomous cars. The number six are the diarrhea. Diarrhea diseases.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like cholera.
Yeah,
probably
ongoing. These are,
out.
Yeah. These
so
are
dirty water.
Causes
access
of health
loss. Access
to
clean water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and various infections, internal infections. Also, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease is the next one. Mm-hmm. Followed by neonatal preterm birth complications.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, that's always been a big cause for death, neonatal issues. And birth, and you know, birth is a very traumatic period. As much as it's a miracle, it's also one of the most traumatic periods of existence.
Yeah, definitely.
Life and birth and death.
Yeah.
Then AIDS, number 9, and 10, malaria, which is what the Gates Foundation is so focused on.
Wow, right.
Yeah. Hmm. The good news is that we're living longer, but those are the chronic diseases we're dealing with. That data came from 2013.
Wow.
Overall.
So the state of the healthy world. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good report.
Focused ultrasound for Parkinson's disease.
It's a tool to help manage Parkinson's disease?
Yeah, apparently.
Let's talk about that. That sounds good.
Investigators are using magnetic resonance imaging to guide ultrasound waves through the intact skin and skull to reach globus pallidus, which is a deep structure in the brain. So you're using ultrasonic waves to stimulate or vibrate a part of the brain. It sounds like Pat Flanagan's Neurophone,
mm-hmm.
where it uses frequencies to resonate parts of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that using ultrasound might offer an alternative approach for certain patients with Parkinson's who have not responded to normal therapy
mm-hmm.
or become disabled from medications that didn't agree with them. So it's a non-invasive therapy to control Parkinson's symptoms.
And so what they're trying to do is like wake up the nerve cells that have kind of died off that are causing the Parkinson's symptoms?
Well, that's a good question,
symptoms.
Mrs. Future. What does ultrasound do to the brain? Definitely vibrates it. Definitely a stimulation seems to be a part of the treatment here. You know what's really crazy about ultrasound, though?
Tell us.
Yeah. This is outside of the universities and everything, is that there are little plugins you can get for your phone that will give you ultrasonic capabilities. Yeah, you could try these things yourself if you bought one of these. They're about like $500
we'll be right
or
back.
So. Anytime.
Hi, Rick in Scotts Valley. Welcome to the Dr.
Hello?
Future Show.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hi.
Just an interesting comment. A couple of weeks ago, I got an opportunity to drive the new Toyota Mirai hydrogen-powered car.
Wow.
How cool.
Oh,
what did you think?
It was in San Jose. Uh-huh. It's basically 90% Lexus stuff inside and about the same size and nicely done interior. What was interesting was you were talking about battery power modules for house use.
Uh-huh.
They opened up the trunk of this Mirai. They opened up a little door in the back and there was a plug. There's a 230 watt single phase two line power outlet in the back for 110 230 circuit.
Uh-huh.
And that the full load of hydrogen would provide 60 kilowatt hours of electricity.
Holy moly. I mean,
60 kilowatt.
Wow, that's a lot, man. That's like three houses at least.
Well, for me, it would be about, I consume about between 10 and 12 kilowatt hours.
Yeah,
I think,
at least, you're right.
So, it's probably 5-6 days worth of power.
Amazing. Huh.
I thought that was a big number.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Now, how did it feel to drive hydrogen gas? And how did that feel as compared to gas cars?
Well, it had a booster in it. Jacked the voltage up to 650 volt DC when you stepped on the gas pedal. And that gave it quite a bit of jump. It was a jumpy car. It took off quickly. It didn't accelerate as fast as you would like, but enough.
Yeah, it was within range of what would be
within
acceptable.
Within range, it was, mm-hmm. yes, it was acceptable. Kicks out about 8 ounces of water per mile.
Oh, yeah, like on the street? Instead of
the street. Uh-huh. I was following another car, and you could actually see the water coming out of the back of the tailpipe of the other one.
Sort of watering the asphalt. Gotcha.
Yes. And one of the things they had to do was to have a special switch in the dashboard so that you could dump the water before you pulled your car into the garage. So it wouldn't put the water inside the garage.
How about the fueling process? Did you witness that at all, how they put the gas in the car?
Yeah, we fueled it right there. It looks like a regular fill hose.
Uh-huh.
It holds about, I think, 5 kilograms at about 10,000 PSI pressure.
How long did it take to refuel a hydrogen car?
3 to 5 minutes.
3 to 5 minutes. Okay, well, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
The price of the hydrogen, current price, that they included 3 years of hydrogen for free or as part of the purchase price of the car. They said that today's price is about $13 a kilogram for the hydrogen. So, you know, roughly $60 for a fill-up.
$60 for fill-up. Okay, well, that...
At today's hydrogen prices.
Gotcha. So that would be going to, like, equivalent of, like, $4 a gallon for gas, something like that. Sounds like...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's not too far off the bat.
I guess the infrastructure is the complicated part, is how do you get all the gas stations in place quickly enough if it's to prove to be competitive and viable versus electric?
Well, it's the same. They're doing the same thing with hydrogen they're doing with electricity by heavy subsidies from government to and private industry to put stations in place.
Yeah.
The two suppliers in California are Air Products and Linde, which long-time gas suppliers.
Yeah. I guess if they make the fuel locally at each station, if they have a hydrolytic converter that makes the hydrogen right there, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
It would decentralize the distribution and production. Simultaneously.
I thought the 60 kilowatt hours of electricity from a fuel cell in the back out of the back of a car from 5 kilograms of hydrogen was quite interesting.
Wow. Yeah, thanks for the report. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Wow, hydrogen fuel. See, hydrogen-powered vehicles, they're definitely on the R&D list here, too, you know, versus electric. The future is not necessarily one direction or another. It might be several simultaneously. I think it was John Lilly that had a vision of a future where hydrogen was the predominant fuel source.
Mm-hmm.
Value being that there's no pollution. There's just water as a byproduct of hydrogen. And you can make it locally. You can make it out of water. So as long as you have water, I guess we're a little problem with that in California, but you wouldn't need nearly as much water for fuel as we use for agriculture. Okay, well, greetings. Welcome back to Dodger Future. In the studio, we have none other than Taylor Barcroft, one of the world's comprehensive expert generalists on all things Apple since the early 80s. He's got a little report from us on the latest thing that came in last week from Apple, the new product releases, and we're going to go into them for the next half hour in a little bit more detail. So welcome to the studio, Taylor.
Hi, Al.
Okay, so the top thing that I think everyone's most interested in initially are the new phones.
Right.
All right, and they're coming out.
We're going to go over the phones, the watches today, and then 2 weeks we'll go over the iPads and the
Okay, if you feel there's that much information on it, we're
yeah,
getting
there's
into,
not yeah. enough time to talk about all in a half hour. So.
Well, you got to figure people watch the Apple announcement. We're really more looking to highlight what is most interesting
rather than be the straight news group.
People can go online and click the reruns for the details.
Right, but it still takes a certain amount of time to talk about each one.
So. It does. So, but let me ask you this, though. The exciting thing that I see on this thing is this new 3D touch.
Right.
Right? Would you agree? That's one of the top things on this?
Yes.
The new processor, the A9X?
It's only A9 in the phone.
Oh, it's A9X in the pad?
On the pad, yeah.
Okay. That looks exciting. They say twice the speed of the last year's model on the phone. Do you think that's realistic?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A lot of people have gotten the 6s and the 6 pluses.
The 12,
is it really worth upgrading to the 7?
The 12-megapixel camera on the back and the 5-megapixel camera on the front with a retina flash from the screen.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool
invention. It's really exciting, and it shoots 4K video.
4K, just out of the
and
box.
And the stills include video on 1.5 seconds before and after the still.
No, that sounds really innovative.
Yeah, that's called live photos, they call it.
No.
They do take up twice as much space as a regular photo, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have an unlimited iCloud account? How do you keep all of this information that the phone is collecting?
Buy a 128 gigabyte model.
So you just keep it on the phone and you don't back it up to iCloud?
I back up to the computer. I don't back up to iCloud. You can just plug it into the computer and it'll go into iPhoto on the Mac or whatever photo app is on your Windows computer.
All right, so the 6, huh? What do you think?
You can edit 3 streams of 4K video with iOS 9 iMovie on the phone.
Serious video editing on the phone.
Right. And you can project 4K video right here on this 80-inch
Taylor's referring Vizio. To the 80-inch Vizio Ultra HD screen sitting in its box on the wall here in the studio, KSCO.
Well, it's the beginning of 4K video to the masses with this phone.
Right. And now that's four times the resolution of HD 1080p
right.
for the uninitiated in this. This is the next step in quality of consumer screens.
Right.
Yeah, so Netflix is now streaming 4K for some things. I think Breaking Bad is one of the first series that's up in 4K.
Well, the important thing is now that people can create 4K video, and there'll be tens of millions of people doing that real soon. It wasn't happening before now.
Exactly. Well, there wasn't enough bandwidth before now,
well, that's
right?
The case.
No, there wasn't a device.
Yes, the hardware and the software.
It's the device, getting the device in the hands of millions of people. That's only Apple could do that.
Right, and with highly integrated software and hardware.
Right.
Yeah.
They're in pre-order right now, and they start selling next Friday, the 25th. They're on track to break last year's record of 10 million over the first weekend.
Right. So this could be the biggest year ever for Apple.
Probably.
Phones.
Probably. Uh-huh. Also, another thing that makes it real easy for people to buy now is the new iPhone upgrade program.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. That allows you to get a new phone every year instead of having to wait for a two-year contract to complete.
Plus, you don't have to. You can keep the phone, and after 2 years, you own it. It's a really inexpensive. It includes AppleCare Plus, so it's as little as $30 and no more than $44 a month for that. And then you tack on a consumer cellular for $15, and it still only costs you $55 or $60 a month for full service and own the phone.
Which is cheaper than what we're paying now.
Yeah, instead of going with a carrier like you and I are locked into the grandfathered unlimited.
Yeah.
So we had took advantage of probably the last two-year contract.
Yeah, what's going on with
those probably won't even exist by December.
Why is that? What's your thinking on that?
Well, the carriers just don't want to deal with those contracts anymore. I mean, our payments don't change. If we're out of the contract, we're still going to pay $75 a month.
You think new iPhone lust will continue to grow and that people will want to get the next year model?
Well, it's not necessary. That's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is you own the phone in 2 years and it only costs you a 24th of the cash price. There's no interest in this loan. It's the price of the phone plus AppleCare Plus divided by 24, and that's your payment. So it's a no-brainer.
And what's the name
Anybody
of the program again for the...
It's called the iPhone Upgrade Program. You have to do it in an Apple store. You can't do it online.
Wow, that's weird.
You have to go to an Apple store and sign the agreement. It's like a loan. It's an interest-free loan is what it is.
Right.
As long as you got decent credit. It's the only way to go if you don't have an unlimited situation that you're...
Like we're stuck in.
Yeah, like we're stuck in. But next time, probably won't be contracts anymore.
That's it.
And a year from now, I'm planning on taking out one of those Apple iPhone upgrade phones to get the next one. And while I'll continue to be paying AT&T for the new, the 6S Plus, but they're not going to, doesn't really matter. I mean, last year I paid cash for the 6 Plus and changed the SIM, and they still, the payments are still the same as before.
Yeah.
All right. So you think the most exciting thing about the new iPhone is the payments?
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's up there.
Well, it is a new way of buying.
It's
a
really
phone,
up there,
right?
Because it levels the playing field among carriers.
Uh-huh.
So they're just fighting for
customers.
Month-to-month customers instead of these contracts.
So that means
contracts.
Competition is getting fierce.
Yeah.
Which will drive up the quality of service, too, and the good old capitalistic model here.
Yeah. The consumer cellular has been the deal for years now. If you can discipline yourself to use Wi-Fi most of the time, you only have to pay like $15 a month to have data and you use Magic Jack for your voice instead
of
the
phone. You, there's something about just turning on the LTE and leaving it on. I like that. It feels like...
Well, you can do that. I mean, you can call them anytime and change the rate, but it's still not very much money even if you go all the way.
Yeah.
Compared to AT&T. And it's still AT&T towers, so what the heck. Anyway, the 4K video, the 12-megapixel camera, the 5-megapixel on the FaceTime camera with the Retina flash. And the new color, pink, too. Yeah,
right?
Don't forget the rose gold color, pink.
Rose gold.
People are calling it pink.
I like it.
And they've got that on the watches. Can we talk about the watches for a second?
Yeah.
Just a minute?
Listen, we got time for the watches.
We got new watches that are gold and rose gold in the anodized aluminum, no extra charge, same price, $399. And the gold one comes with what they call midnight blue, which is really navy blue.
Does it look
band
good? Yeah.
That looks awesome.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, the blue blazer with the gold buttons. It looks like that. It's fantastic. I can be more excited about that color combination.
Is that the one you're getting?
And then the rose gold, when the next watch comes out, I think
And what about for the women? What fashion does that have?
Well, they've got the rose gold.
The rose gold.
With a antique white or the stone white. These are like off-white. They're not as bright as the solid white that they had to begin with. These are more muted whites that look fantastic.
A little more elegant.
Really elegant. Yeah. Really look fantastic. Awesome.
Yeah. So they're really moving into the fashion statement here.
Well, it's no extra charge. That's the thing. It's the low price, the $399. You don't have to go spending $12,000 to have a gold watch.
You got a point.
Or a rose gold watch. Yeah, and they look similar. They're muted. They're not as shiny. What do you call that? Matte. They're matte.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they look great.
Yeah. So the fashion looks promising. What about the functionality? There's the major thing now is a new software upgrade for the watches. Right.
Watch OS 2 is tomorrow, and iOS 9 is tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Really, that soon?
Wednesday the 16th
I will have new capability tomorrow?
Yeah, September 16th, we upgrade all our iOS devices tonight. And the great thing about 9 is that it's going to be more efficient on all devices.
Yeah.
It's not going to be just better on the new devices. They're tweaking it for all the older devices so that you get a specific, an iPad 2 specific version, and an iPad 3 specific version, iPad 4 specific.
Personalized.
So they're more
personalized,
better
upgrades.
Performance now.
So you won't get the side effects or the bugs from having the other stuff going wrong with other versions.
Right, with other hardware.
Yeah.
So they're tweaking the versions for each hardware type. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, that is fascinating. That is really focused on individuated attention. That's amazing.
Yeah, and plus they have much smaller downloads. So if you have a 16 gig phone, you're more likely to be able to upgrade without having to delete anything. And they also have a deal, if you do have too much stuff on there, it'll automatically delete to make room and then automatically put it back on. The Watch OS 2 is going to let you have independent access to the Wi-Fi network, not through the phone. So the apps are going to be on the watch, independent of the phone, giving you a much richer, faster experience. Remember, it's a computer on your wist. It's not a watch. It's a
That's true.
It's a dual-core gigahertz computer.
Well, it does. It has a clock. Like, we're going to a break now because of the clock.
See you.
Yeah, we'll see you shortly. Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We were just talking to Taylor Barcroft about the Apple announcements last week. Specifically, we were focused on the Apple Watch and the new upgrade for the software coming in tomorrow, right, Taylor?
That's right. Tomorrow morning, probably about 10 o'clock.
So what new superpowers will I have tomorrow with my watch? I mean, what new capability does it have? Like, I noticed the real-time heart rate monitoring. Like, it's starting to look at physiological processes in the body continuously.
You're talking about the watch?
The watch, yeah.
I think the biggest thing about the watch is the apps will run independently of the phone now. They're not going to be they're not going to be arms from an app that's on the phone. They're going to sit there independently on the watch, and the watch has direct access to known Wi-Fi networks. In other words, if your phone is checked into it, the watch knows that, and it can directly connect without going through the watch.
So the watch is becoming more autonomous.
Right.
Its own being, if you will. Interesting.
Yeah. And it can send text with just a Wi-Fi, even if your phone is nowhere near.
Yeah, there's improved communication capabilities. You're going to be able to make phone calls from the watch.
Directly,
instead of just receive FaceTime calls.
Audio only, though, right?
Yeah.
FaceTime audio?
Yeah, there's FaceTime audio. They had that already. You know, there's so many changes that... I can tell you more about it in 2 weeks.
Okay, good. Let's do it in 2 weeks. I'm curious about the bandwidth connections between it and the phone. There must be some improvement in communications capacity with the mothership, so to speak.
Well, it's Bluetooth, so I don't know.
Yeah, just improvements in Bluetooth, and that's it. There's no Wi-Fi.
I don't know if there's improvements in Bluetooth, but there's, you know,
do they send data to each other via Wi-Fi?
No, they use Bluetooth. Well, yes, if they're separated far enough, that's a possibility, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, because we sling a lot of video with Wi-Fi in local environments these days. So, okay, let's move on then.
Oh, there's a GoPro video viewer.
Oh, yeah,
you can watch your GoPro camera on your watch with iWatchOS 2.
Yeah, I do like that. I like being able to use the camera app right now. You know how selfies are always low res? They use the lousy camera for the selfie. Well, this uses the good camera, but seeing the watch, and you'll be able to hold the camera out and get really nice, high quality.
Well, yeah, that already exists.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's one of the greatest features I like about having the watch.
Yeah, it's going to be even more amazing with the watchOS. I expect a lot of new apps and stuff to appear after watchOS 2 is released.
Yeah.
And then iOS 9 is all kinds of stuff. I'll talk more about that in 2 weeks.
Okay. What's iPad now? Pro? We had Apple TV, iPad Pro. Let's do that. Yeah,
yeah, we're going to view Apple TV in 2 weeks. iPad Pro now. That's 12.9-inch iPad with 4 speakers. It's like surround speakers, in other words. And if you twist it 90 degrees, the speakers switch. So you still have it left and right, no matter which way you're holding it.
Wow.
And they're baffled. You know, they have these acoustic chambers in each corner with the speakers to make them sound really loud and much more full-bodied than before.
Really, really.
I'm extremely excited about that.
Real acoustic baffles?
Yeah. Yeah. It was in the video, in the presentation. You missed that?
No, I was just reflecting on it.
Yeah. They reflect. It's amazing.
Like sound in a small space to make it better. That's really interesting to
hear
what
it sounds like. And then there's going to be a keyboard for it that connects with 3 connectors on the side in landscape mode.
Yeah, I saw that, a new connector.
And that keyboard is extremely durable. You can spill Coke on it and it doesn't hurt at all.
It's completely
washable. You can put it in the...
Really? It's like a whole membrane?
Dishwasher. Yeah. Wow. It's membrane, yeah. Each one's got an independent butterfly button.
Underneath
so they're
it, yeah.
real super high-tech buttons.
I can just see people putting their keyboards in the dishwasher.
Yeah. I prefer to use the keyboard on the screen. And the screen keyboard's going to be better than ever because it's bigger. But also the pencil is the big deal. Apple Pencil,
before you get into that,
graphic artist.
We'll get right into the pencil. It used to be what's under the hood. Now it's what's under the membrane. In the case of the keyboard. Anyway, go ahead.
Apple Pencil is revolutionary.
Apple Pencil. Yeah.
Ooh,
you can get right down to the pixel.
The
resolution of the iPad Pro is the highest resolution of any iOS device. The pixels are closer together than on any other iOS device, no matter what you're looking at.
Hmm.
And the pencil lets you get down to the pixel level.
So you have basically a very handy pen that can change
pencil.
The thickness, a pencil, that you can change the thickness of the...
artist, it's really awesome for graphic artists, creative people.
Hold on a second, let's get the feminine point of view, the graphic artist, son. What do you think of the pencil?
I cannot wait to get an
you
Apple Pencil.
You have to be first in line. You have to be first in the queue.
Really, it's going to be hard to get the Apple Pencil?
And the editing, the 4K editing on the iPad Pro. Hell, forget the iMac. Forget the Mac Pro. We're moving into the complete total takeover of iOS as a primary operating system for lots of work.
The idea of having a really cool pen that's really, really...
Pencil. Yeah.
Okay. That by pushing different, you have this 3D touch too that changes
And get this, it charges with a lightning connector on the back of it that you plug into the lightning port of the iPad and it charges out instead of taking the charge in.
Yeah.
Now, did you notice that when they announced the pencil, there was kind of like a laugh in the audience, like somehow Bill Gates finally won, you know, because Apple came out with a stylus.
I don't see any conflict between the Apple Pencil and what Steve Jobs was saying and thinking. I see it completely compatible.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, remember, Newton had a pencil.
Believe me, I like a pencil.
Well, that's right. That was before Steve got back. I'm sorry. Forget that.
No, you know what would be better than a pencil for me? Would be if I could just move my finger and it turns into a pencil. Like my finger aimed at the screen in 3D and just aimed at it. I could just change the way in which it touched the screen. Like,
remember, there's no 3D touch on the iPad Pro. It's tuned for the pencil.
Okay.
We got to wait another year for 3D touch to hit
really,
the
3D
iPads.
Touch isn't in the
there's
pad?
No 3D touch in any iPads.
Oh.
Only the phone.
Just the phone.
6S. 6S Plus, yeah.
Wow. So that's the experimental proving ground of this.
It's not experimental.
Well,
it's just the first stage. It's a very expensive and difficult change that they probably to take longer to get fixed on the iPads.
And people
in fact, they retained iPad Air 2, and they did improve the iPad Mini, but it's the iPad Air 2 guts and an iPad Mini 4, they're calling it.
Yeah, right. Son?
I think that it's also when you come out with a new technology like that, there's also new gesture language issues that come up, like what are going to be the standards and how you use this capability. So they like to bring it in a little at a time, and I guess...
And the developers are going to be inventing that too.
Yeah, they're going to see if it flies.
So the third parties are going to come up with what does the 3D touch do. Like on our phones, I've got Rentastic Pro. I push harder and it shows me stop or pause instead of the information about my activity.
What's that third dimension useful for in control surfaces?
Well, it's useful for those living pictures. Is that what it's called, the living pictures?
Well, there's a lot of different things you can do with 3D touch on the phone. And there's a haptic engine in there, too. They call it haptic feedback is on the phone. In fact, they cut the battery down a little bit to make room for the haptic feedback, mm-hmm. which is a whole vibrator like what's in the phone,
yeah.
only bigger, like what's in the watch, only bigger in the phone. It's right down about here, but near the bottom.
And that's what they were calling on the watch Force Touch, right? That one, and they're changing the name.
Well, Force Touch is not 3D. This is 3D Touch. It's three different levels. It's just that you can touch it a little bit down.
The Force Touch is
just
two.
You'll get the feedback to tell you how hard you're pushing it and from the Taptic Engine. And then you push harder, and you get more feedback. It gives you different interfaces according to how deep you push.
Yeah, so pushing becomes your navigational process.
Yeah,
the different layers.
Exactly. Like in the mail, if you touch lightly, you can see the contents of the mail. You touch a little harder, it'll open that mail.
Yeah, I guess pushing is a good
word. We're
all
going to have to learn these new gestures on the phone.
Right.
They probably, for me, pushing it's people, very analogous
gonna need you
to
now for the mouse of this layer
when
of
they
interface.
Came out with the buttonless or, mouse. And you
touch.
Had to learn how to really use your fingers just right to get the mouse to distinguish between just
and they have
a
Force Touch on the on
the
Mac, too, but it's not 3D Touch.
Mm-hmm. You think this
So this is beyond the Force Touch that's on the new Mac
Pro,
MacBook, rather, as well as the Apple Watch.
So what do you think? Think this will stick?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the killer app would be for
this? I think
the
3D Touch is the number one reason for getting it. The other reasons parallel would be the 12-gigabyte pixel count.
Camera, yeah. The
megapixel,
awesome
rather.
Well, it starts to get into the possibility of doing
And the 5 on the front. It was only 1.2 on the front until now. To jump the 5, that's a huge... The selfies are going to be radically better.
Yeah. Well, 12 megapixels, start to get the minimum you need to have decent virtual reality type pictures like you have with the photosphere format. That's an Android thing. You're in the center of a sphere and you look around, it's a 3D picture of what you shot. So 12 megapixel starts to look good for that kind of format.
It probably helps to shoot the 4K video too.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's it. 4K video.
Might not have been able to do that with 8 megapixels.
360 immersive 4K video is the future for this since it's on its way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're making an app for that, right?
It's all in the pipeline, man. If you can consider the idea to the future as a pipeline, yeah.
Well, there's an awful lot of third-party camera apps that are going to just be going crazy right now, getting ready for
the new capabilities of the stuff.
Getting ready for this new phone and the iOS 9 combination.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about this stuff.
Yeah, iOS 9 must be chock full of stuff. I have not even
thought deeply about that. Let's get into that when I have more information.
Yeah, we need more than 45 seconds.
right. I'll know a lot more after having it starting tomorrow, the 16th of September.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, Taylor, for being in. Is there anyone wants to reach you?
I got an iPad Air 3 for sale.
Oh, you do?
FutureMedia at me.com
iPad
if anybody
Air
wants it.
iPad Air 3.
$475. It's new. No, iPad Air 2. There is no iPad Air 3.
That's what I was wondering.
iPad Air 2, $475. It comes with a case and a screen cover.
16 gig?
I got it as a Zviggle prize.
16 gig mod?
Yeah, 16 Wi-Fi.
Yeah, okay. Wi-Fi only. Gotcha. Okay, well, sounds like a basic unit.
FutureMedia@me.com. Yeah. Anybody wants to shoot me any questions or whatever.
FutureMedia@me.com.
Right, this Apple address, me.com.
Excellent.
Thank you very much for allowing me to plug that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you knew that was coming, right?
Of course. You know, what's radio without a plug? Okay, thanks for the data. I hope that was useful to you folks out there.
This is the Dr. Future Show on KSCO. We'll be right back with our guest, Charles Ostman.